Many community groups are concerned that the end of the COVID-19 rental eviction moratorium will have dire impacts on low-income renters. This Friday, the New South Wales government's moratorium is coming to an end, which coincides with the end of the JobKeeper scheme and JobSeeker coronavirus supplement. The rental moratorium measures were created to help residential tenants and landlords financially disadvantaged by COVID-19. At the beginning of March, Minister Kevin Anderson announced a six-month transition period of support that would commence after March 26th. In response, a group of 40 community organisations wrote an open letter to the minister calling for an extension on a range of key protections to be kept in place throughout this transition period. The group, including the Tenants Union of New South Wales, Vinnies New South Wales, Community Legal Centres New South Wales, and People with Disability Australia, stated in the open letter that women in New South Wales, particularly older women and single mothers, are at greatest risk of housing stress and homelessness. They added that renters in regional New South Wales and in outer Sydney will be hit the hardest by the moratorium ending, as they face increased market rents and some of the lowest vacancy rates on record. To find out more about this change, we are joined by the CEO of the Tenants Union of New South Wales, Leo Patterson-Ross. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie.
Thanks for joining us today. So after this moratorium ends on Friday, New South Wales will enter a six-month transition period. Can you tell us more about this transition period? What's going to change?
So the legislation is being passed through Parliament this week, so it's not yet finalised, but it will come into effect on Friday, assuming it passes and nothing happens to Parliament House itself. What the intention of government here is to ensure that the rental debts that had been accrued before 26th March, so before tomorrow, can still be negotiated around, that tenants won't be evicted quickly because they've been carrying this rent arrears debt. And we know that a lot of people were, and ACOS UNSW research project last year found that in New South Wales, around 27,000 people sought a rent reduction but got a rent deferral, and that's really just rent arrears by another name, and that average debt was around $8,000-$9,000. So significant amount of money, significant risk of being evicted. So government is saying to landlords, you still have to sit down and negotiate about how that money gets repaid, and also whether or not the rent negotiation that you had previously was fair and reasonable. So it's a really important transition period. It does leave some people out. So a person who is coming off JobKeeper support now, for instance, and falls behind in the coming weeks but didn't have any problems before, they will not be covered by this transition period. And they'll be at real risk of eviction for rent arrears.
And what are the immediate impacts that you're predicting when this moratorium ends?
So, you know, it's very dependent on how people act and behave, and also, you know, how many people have already had to move because they just simply couldn't hang on to their properties any longer. And unfortunately, in New South Wales, and actually there's a problem in Australia generally, governments haven't traditionally measured the tenancy sector very well. They don't measure things like how many people get evicted each week. Australia doesn't know that. You know, there's real gaps in Australia and in the government's knowledge. But what we expect to see is that a large number of people who've been hanging on, who've been drawing down savings, who've been on JobKeeper, JobSeeker support, will be unable to maintain their tenancy even with the rent repayment negotiation framework. And now be having to move, and potentially in large numbers. That might be evictions, or it might be people just simply moving because they can't. They can see the writing on the wall. They can't keep paying the rents that they are at the moment. And what we're already seeing, and really have seen for the last couple of months, is that that's having a huge impact in regional areas because people are leaving the really expensive inner city, where although rents have come down, they're still some of the most expensive rents in the country and the world. them leaving those expensive inner city areas and moving to regional areas because they can maybe work from home if their job allows that. If they don't have a job, then they may not have the same ties, but they know that the rents are cheaper. And that's having a really negative impact on the people who are already in those regional towns and communities because they're being asked actually to vacate. They're being given no ground notices and evicted it's so that the rents can be raised to meet this influx of demand from the cities.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. I do want to quickly talk about this open letter that the Tenants Union of New South Wales, along with 39 other organisations, wrote to the New South Wales government. In the letter, you called for additional financial support for renters in hardship, with examples such as no interest loan scheme and funding for services who support tenants. Has the New South Wales government or the minister replied to this?
We have been in communication and conversation with the minister. It does not appear that the New South Wales government is willing to put in place this financial support. And we think that's a real shame. It's very important because really it is what helps and it's the only way the rent repayment negotiations work because we know that landlords and tenants won't get to a place, because they haven't for the last year, they won't get to a place that works for giving the tenant what is actually genuinely affordable and keeps them in their home, as well as what the landlord is willing to accept and that the tribunal will pass through as acceptable. There's always a gap there, and that's the gap that needs to be covered by government financial support. And it can be in a range of ways. You know, a direct financial support is actually usually the most efficient. Just paying for the gap is usually the most efficient, has the best overall outcomes. But it's also the most expensive for government. So there are other options like the no-interest loan scheme, which actually end up costing government almost nothing because they're not getting very much interest on their money anywhere else at the moment anyway. But it eases that pressure and it lets people put in place much, much longer repayment plans. So there was a range of options available. And really, you know, it's important to say as well, the eviction moratorium was a really necessary, really important measure to protect people from homelessness early on in the COVID period. It's been important to extend it because the COVID crisis and the economic crisis that followed has continued. But it doesn't solve the really fundamental issues with our housing system, that renting is unfair, it's very expensive, there isn't a genuinely affordable house for people to move to, which is really crucial. And that's why we're seeing all these issues still coming up, but it's also why this financial support was necessary in the first place. You know, if we had a renting system that was resilient, that could adapt to crises, and that people could apply for support just as an ordinary course of events, then, you know, a lot of these extraordinary measures that government has put in and that there's real resistance from in the property industry wouldn't be necessary.
Leo, we are out of time, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Marlene.